to make sure we was good.
Yeah.
Teresa, we a go? On the other. Check one, two, check one, two. Mike, we gonna be done with this?
That's what I'm talking about.
We are gonna record the first service this morning, okay? Due to, I got Ben here, and I got the Hardens here. Greg had wanted to say a few words this morning. Let's go ahead and get cranked up. Ready? 3, 2. All right, good morning. Welcome to Autogable Baptist Church. We are so glad that you are joining us this morning, and hopefully you are having a wonderful Valentine's Day. And thank you to Prattville Flower Shop, Anna and Tanya, for making us a pretty little bouquet down here this morning to symbolize it off. Y'all already started your Valentine's Days off good? Everything going good, I take it, I hope? Amen. Very good to hear. Announcements this morning in way of, first of all, for the Ruby Pugh family, to all the ladies who made food Tuesday when we were here, thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts. It was a wonderful meal. They were able to feed the family in the fellowship hall. There was a great turnout, but thank you to all the ladies and the men. President James was there pouring tea and helping. Thank you to all the people who helped and participated. The family was wonderfully grateful. Also, please remember the Kenny Hill family. Also remember the Crouch family. I'd sent out a prayer request on the Crouch family earlier this week, and they went to EMCA is what they did with the kids. Nash, their son, was in a couple of the kids' classes, and so I believe Tanya and I had met that family maybe a couple of years ago, and he is not doing well in the hospital. He has been sick with COVID. I ask that you please keep him and their entire family in your prayers. Please remember those. A praise report, Alvin Bryant's brother is getting ready to go back to the doctor again, but they are trending in the right direction, so they are making progress. Brother Alvin said that he had a little ammonia still that he was trying to get over with, but the main thing is we're trending in the right direction on that. Also, we have 18 people that are at Camp Victory this morning, which was a great turnout for us. That was a good number. Martha, Kate, and Gil went on ours. Of course, Tanya and Anna and the rest of the crew have been busy delivering flowers and making arrangements since earlier in the week. So Anna's going to fill in for Leslie today. Anna, thank you for all that you do and help. I know I depend on her in the crunch situations, and she comes through. Also remember Josh and Tyler Blackman, Patsy's daughter and new husband. We did their wedding Saturday, and they went on their honeymoon. Now they're stuck in Dallas. I know, in sub-zero temperatures. All the flights are canceled, so they're having to rent a car and drive home. Please keep them in your prayers also, because the temperatures are at zero down there. And as always, any other announcements this morning? It's so wonderful to have Greg and Jan here this morning. Of course, everybody knows what's happening. And I'm going to turn this over to Greg in just a minute. But I have two special guests with me this morning. This is Anna's boyfriend. Kyle Johnson's visiting with us. He'll throw his hand up. And also, Benjamin Woodard is here with us. Ben, stand up and introduce yourself to the church.
Hi, my name is Benjamin. My parents are missionaries to Peru, South America with ADWE. And I've been down in Peru my whole life. They've been serving for 20 plus years as church planners. And right now they're planning on starting a crisis training center.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. So Ben was going to stay back in the States and going to go to work, so he's living in the apartment side of the house. We're trying to help him get on his feet and everything while he's figuring a lot of stuff out. So is there any other way of announcements, anything I missed, prayer request, anything that jumps out at anybody, please speak right now if you can. Let me know. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Yeah, Mike Grooms, this Jeannie's husband, he was diagnosed with lung cancer, and they are very hopeful about the treatment. It looks like they're going to hopefully be able to go in and remove a piece of it. Yeah, the top lobe, and hopefully get him back straightened out. But please remember him and your family. Well, him and Jeannie, please. Any other prayer requests this morning? Miss Mary, good to see you here. You feeling better? Amen. Wonderful. Anybody else this morning? Prayer requests, announcements. Yes, ma'am, Miss Carolyn. Absolutely. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Jimmy Seaman. Is that Heath's sister? Okay. Any other prayer requests, concerns, announcements before we open up in prayer? Ben, thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for your service and your families. It's wonderful for Tanya and I to have you. Kyle, good to have you here too this morning. Yeah, there ain't any other visitors, right? I covered everybody. Only got two. Good to see little Jaden here this morning too, Kay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just come to you right now, dear God, and we just pray a special blessing over our service, Father God, that, dear Lord, your words will be said here today, Father, and may everything that we do, Father, bring you honor and glory. I ask, God, that you be with each and everybody on these prayer lists, God, that you just, Lord, you know each and every situation. I pray, Father, that you will be with them. Be with us as we sing songs to your name, Father God. And dear God, Lord, may everything we say and do, Father, be right in your will, aligned completely with you. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this time that we have. Thank you, Lord, for letting us assemble in your house, Father God. And help us, each and every one of us, to remember that this is your house, dear God, not ours, dear Lord. Help us to be your hands and feet to further your kingdom, Father, in all that we say and do throughout the week. May we be found worthy of being your servants, dear God. Lord, lead, guide, and direct each and every one of these families, Father God. Be with them. Give them safe travel, Father, wherever they may go. Dear Lord, we love you and we thank you. And these things I ask in your most holy name. Amen. Everybody knows that Greg and Jan was on our prayer list last Sunday night, that they had experienced a horrible house fire. There was people there. I've been keeping up with them all week. I know that they have been going through a ton of stuff right now, but so glad to see y'all here this morning. And I believe Greg Harden would have a few words that he's going to come up and share. So, amen. So excited to hear. Turn it over.
Me and Jan and the family, we just want to say thank you. Y'all have loved on us. You've been so generous to us. You've expressed love. You've prayed for us. You've fed us. When I woke up Monday morning, I realized I couldn't change underwear because I didn't own another pair. But that's been corrected thanks to y'all. But we were watching the Super Bowl Sunday, and at 7 o'clock, Jan saw something out the window that didn't look right. So I stepped outside to look, and the chimney was on fire, and it was coming out the side. It was one of those insert fireplaces, and it was boxed in, and the siding was on fire. So it wasn't like it was a brick chimney. And so I called 911. She called John Threlkill. Both excellent moves. And when he got to the house, he said, "You've got a few minutes. Get what you want." So we start grabbing. And I started grabbing pictures. He said, "You ain't got no clothes." And there was a pile of work clothes on a red sofa. And I gathered all that stuff up and I threw it out in the yard. And that was the clothes I had. There were no underwear in that pile. Just work shirts and blue jeans, which that's what I'm going to need to rebuild that house. So what did God provide? But God had started back further. She goes to the doctor. I go to the doctor. We do blood work. She fussed at me for jumping in on her appointment a little bit, but because Lee didn't know I was coming too. He takes my blood work. He says, "You're diabetic." Well, I didn't know I was diabetic. I didn't want to be diabetic. But it's sort of too late for that. I done let that horse out of the barn. But out of that, I didn't want to take a bunch of medicine to fight diabetes. So I asked him what I could do, and he said, "Well, you could lose weight." So I've started trying to lose weight back in the fall. But the Lord knew what was coming. You know, then we had a family vacation around Christmas that was sort of the something we'd always wanted to do with the grandchildren, you know, one of them bucket things. Well, that involved a whole lot of walking. So that continued my physical development. Back in there, we had the COVID. He delivered us from the COVID, but it was not a fun 3 weeks. Some of that was kind of rough. But Lee helped us through those days, and the Lord and y'all's prayer. You know what I mean? I'm the most blessed man in Otagable. So then when this event occurs, I'm in good enough shape that whatever we got to do, I can do. And I'm not just going to be wore out to do it, but God prepared the way. But now Sunday morning, he took James Carter and he prepared his children. Because he knew there was a rough patch coming up. We had the sweetest Sunday school lesson back there that you could imagine. And then James had seen this thing about ending it in prayer. And y'all know there's been a little rub in the church ever since we changed preachers. We've been through the COVID. There's just been rub. It hadn't been the sweet spirit that we all were accustomed to. Well, in that prayer time, different issues were being specifically addressed, and different people had different things on their heart, and they were laying them on the altar right in front of Jesus, and we were talking to each other just like we needed to do. Now, when we left here Sunday, me and her were full of the Holy Spirit. We had felt loved. We had felt compassion towards each other. I mean, it was sweet. He knew there was a rough patch coming up. So then when the fire breaks out, okay, John says, "Get your stuff." So we start getting our stuff. He says, "Stop getting your stuff. Just stand in the yard." Okay. Well, then it really broke loose. But it had really already broke loose. He could see it from his house, what I had not seen, and that was the roof on fire like Cuda thought it. So then the first fire truck shows up and the pumper didn't work. I said,
this ain't going to go well. That's exactly what I thought. This ain't going to go well.
And then the rest of them came. We have the most wonderful volunteer fire department in the world, in this county. We are blessed by men that care and show compassion and work their buns off to do things. The things that we have recovered out of that fire are because of the efforts of those men. We've recovered stuff that means nothing to you. There's this pan that had this broken handle and one handle over here. Well, that handle been broke off for years. But that's the pan that Jan uses to cook those peanut butter bar things in. She's done that for years. And it's had that broken handle for years.
And it was his grandmama's boiler.
And it was my grandmama's boiler. And you'd have never picked that up, but that's precious to me. Okay? But I lost nothing in the fire that really mattered. I've got my wife, I've got my daughters, and my grandchildren. And Marley had been at our house at 5 o'clock. And she had just left. And little thing, the way that mind whirls at 4 years old, she didn't need to have that up in her head of having seen all that, so the Lord let her be out of the way. Now I'm going to tell you that our God is a very practical God. What I'm saying is if you talk about somebody you can trust, you get down on your knees and you just begging for a relationship. This is how practical he is. I had a small note left on the house that needed refinancing, okay? Is it 4% and the rates, you know, right now are at 2, so it's just a slam dunk. Change that thing, shorten 3 years, all that good stuff. I hadn't got that done. So I didn't have that cash outlay made, you know what I mean? Because there was going to be no payback in a house that's going to burn down. Now, there's some things that we need to do when we retire. I don't know if y'all know this, but old folks and stairs are not a great combo. They just not a great combo. You know where every bedroom in that house is? Upstairs. Upstairs. Okay? There was a little sin in our house. We had too much just stuff. And when we got stuff, we never got rid of stuff. Well, guess what? We've had a pruning. And so we can start back and we can do this thing the way the Lord wants it done. But if I had spent the $80,000-$90,000 on that house was still going to burn down. What happened in that chimney happened in that chimney. It wasn't like there wasn't this underlying cause, root cause, you know, like we talk about it at the mill. And Benny was the fire chief, so he appreciates the pumper truck not working. But they wanted it to work so bad.
But all the other fire departments in the county.
Every one of them. And they all showed up and all this stuff. But this picture, okay? So all these firemen are doing their thing. And I walk around there to where the fire started. Where the fire started, looking up at the chimney. And I look up, and you see that picture on the wall? There is no picture there. There was no picture frame there. But when I looked up and I saw Jesus looking at my problem, it was like, I got this. And I knew he had it all along. All I can tell you is, I know he's got it. And somebody said something about Job. I said, no, I am nothing compared to Job. Job lost his family. I did not lose a soul to that fire. But was it hot? I went, I knew where some pans were, and I thought, well, I'll get them pans. Well, the fire inspector guy that was there to make sure that I had not torched my own house, he said, aluminum melts at 1,200 and copper burns at 800 or 900 or something. So I go in there and I think, yeah, there's that pan. Half of it's gone. That thing done melted. So there were some spots in that house that were really hot. But Jan has got something she wants to share with you.
Well, what I didn't grab was my Bible off the table. But the next day when we went back over there, my Bible was open on the table. Everything around it charred, and it's singed around the edges, but it wasn't burned up. And at the other end of that table was my mama's Bible. It wasn't burned either. And if y'all remember when we had our homecoming, I think was when I brought these nails that were the original nails in the church built in 1853 here with the key to the old original church in this cloth-covered box. Was in the buffet in the dining room, and the buffet was burned up. This doesn't even have smoke damage on it. I mean, y'all, that's just a God thing. I mean, it is. And this whole experience has just been evidence of God at work, because y'all have loved us so much that's what's gotten us through. I mean, y'all have checked on us, and we just appreciate that so much and are so, so blessed.
And, you know, even like dealing with the insurance company and stuff, you know, good, strong insurance company, all that stuff, but they have a, you know, they have a group that's supposed to minimize their payoff to the loss and all that. And my goal is to be sure that I take care of my wife, and I've got her set up for the future and all this. And I'm about to retire here pretty soon, so we start praying. Well, Coach Carter comes by that day. He gives me a jacket, black jacket. I used to wear this one on the sidelines. I thought, that is what I need. I need a competitive jacket that I can wear, and just to remind me that I got business to take care of. So I started asking some of you to help, and I still need that prayer for wisdom in dealing with them. I don't need anything that's not ours, because the Lord's providing. And y'all have just...
I hadn't cooked a meal since Sunday night. Y'all fed us well.
Yeah.
And we've had the children all there too, so that's been a blessing.
And they have really pitched in and helped and just... But y'all have... We just wanted to tell you that we loved you.
Thank you.
That we sincerely appreciate it. But he's a very practical Jesus, in addition to meeting your every need. But what's in that book is true. And I can take you through scriptures that I've been seeing played out all this week. And that would take time. But verses will come up, because I'll be seeing something and I'll be going, that's that verse being lived out right in front of me. The word is true. Let's all lean on it. Let's all put down whatever and just serve.
Amen. Before y'all step down, Brother James, I know we've done this in the past. We are masked. Is there any way we could lay hands on one each of the shoulders and pray this morning for Jan and Greg? Can we do it? Does everybody feel okay with it?
We just have to walk down there and put them on.
That's all we got to do, guys. And that's what we've done it before. Everybody's masked. Stand right down here. Come on, guys. Everybody come right down the middle. Y'all know how we do this. You just kneel right down here in front, honey. We're going to be right behind you. All we're going to do is lay hands. Everybody on top, one hand on top of the other on the shoulders. Father, sincerely do know that. Father, you put your proof in that house. You put your proof in their lives, dear God. Father God, I pray, Lord, that you give them everything this sweet family needs, dear God. Wisdom, direction, everything they need, Father God. You're right, Lord. We know we serve a God who knows how to sometimes clean the clutter that we need, Lord. Lord, until you take care of it, Lord, and all we have to do is look to you. Greg's right, Father God. We as a church, dear Lord, we need to come more together to serve, Father God, to be your hands and feet, truly be a church on mission for you, God. Lord, help us to all keep our eyes on you, Father God. But Lord, thank you for this testimony that you have laid on Greg and Jan's hearts, Lord, that your evidence was ever so clear, Father. Your spirit was right there with them. You showed it in the Bibles. Just like Greg said, there was no picture frame there. That was you, Father God. What a wonderful reminder, dear God, that you are in control. And you're in control of us, our lives, our country, this world. Lord, may we be found in your favor, always looking up, always keeping our eyes on you. Bless each and every one of us, Father God. But Lord, hedge of protection around Greg and Jan. Wisdom for the journey. Direction. Everything they need, Father God. May they have it, Lord. Let your spirit cover them, bathe them in it. Lord, we love you and we thank you, Father. We do. Thank you, Jesus, for these moments. For these times, dear God, when instead of such tragedy, Lord, we are able to see that silver lining and say, God, you've got us. You've truly got us. And all we have to do is take comfort in that to keep our eyes up above. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Lord, we love you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
That was
so sweet.
After 10?
No, till 9:55.
I got
10:05.
Yeah, 10:05. Well, Anna? No, you didn't know. No, that's way better than anything. No. Come on up, lead them in some music. We're going to go ahead and we're going to sing our two hymns of course, and we're going to go over a quick version this morning. The testimonies that you hear today, I'm sorry. The testimonies that you hear like that from Greg and Jan, boom, that takes it. That's church. That's church. That's what we need. As God's people, as we move forward, you'll remember that 5 years from now. You won't remember what I talked about. But I can tell you, remember that time Greg Harden stood up and told you about that testimony? You'll say, oh man, I was there. I remember how powerful it was. That's having church. That's having church. Bless their hearts, Anna.
Before I begin, I just wanted to say, Mr. Greg and Miss Jan, y'all know that I love y'all with everything in my heart, and you have such a beautiful family. But I also wanted to say that I just admire y'all as Christians for taking such a destructive event and turning into something so powerful as your testimony was. All right, let's praise Jesus today. We're going to start with victory in Jesus. If everyone would, please stand. right, y'all, the next one's going to be Crown Him with Many Crowns. And we're just going to do the first and last verse on this one. I think it's page 304, Miss Kay.
Okay.
Yeah. You're all right. Y'all may be seated. Thank y'all.
Miss Kay is always wonderful, wonderful playing. Anna, thank you so much. Beautiful job as always. Thank you for helping out and always filling in on such short notice that I give her. Greg, you took the cake today, bud. That was perfect. It truly was. What we're going to do is we're going to hit the high points is what we're going to do. This is the conclusion today of 1 John chapter 5. We are in the last chapter of the book of 1 John. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me for just a few minutes, I promise. Because I had written down a few things I just wanted to share, and that was... One, I'd found a testimony that I really liked of Charles Spurgeon, who you know was Prince of Preachers way back in the 1800s, too. And I had actually found, they said, written in his words, so the personal testimony of him, and I wanted to share that with you today is what I wanted to do. But 1 John chapter 5, John kicks right into it with his church and what he's telling them. And we're going to open up with verses 1 and 2 right there. 1 John chapter 5, starting with verse 1. It says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, and that is by loving God and carrying out His commands." Let's pray this morning. Father, as we spend these next few minutes, dear God, Lord, help us to be conquerors for You, Father, to always be willing to put forth that extra effort, Father, and sharing Your name, Father God, or by simply praying for someone, God, or simply by taking a meal, Father, whatever You lay on our hearts, God, may we act upon it. May we act upon it, Father. May we be always found looking at You. Lord, help us to to keep our eyes right where they're supposed to be. Father God, thank you, Lord, for the Apostle John and for, God, his words and how much we've seen, how much his church meant to him, and, God, how he just wanted to glorify you. Lord, help us to do that this morning. We just want to glorify you. Father, these things I ask in your name. Amen. So, as we conclude today with the book of 1 John, now keep in mind we've got 2 John and 3 John to cover, but we're wrapping up 1 John today. We have been over a detailed, basically almost a word by word of each of these chapters and each of these verses as we've seen. So I had made some little comments here. We've studied this chapter. We've covered fellowship with God, if y'all remember that. We've covered remaining with God. We've covered living as God's children. We've covered living with love. And today we talk about living as conquerors. Conquerors is what we talk about. Now, let's think back for just a second. I hope y'all have a little fun with this. But what is something that you've conquered? Conquered, seriously. Anybody ever ran a full marathon? Ran a 5K once, but I made it through the 5K. What about anybody done a full marathon? Anybody paid off a house? Amen, very good. Now that's a good feeling, right? What about paying off a car? You have conquered that, amen, good. You have conquered that feeling, you have paid for it. I'll never forget when Tiny and I paid off one of our first ones, that Big Gray Suburban, you remember it? And I did a very bad thing. I went and traded it in. I never should have done that. But I didn't do good. But we paid it off, and we were so excited. We have conquered it. I'm like, yes, that's the last one. And so we, you're not supposed to talk, Tanya. You're not supposed to talk. Y'all, I apologize for her. She just gets that way sometimes. Not allowed to say nothing, Tanya. But you know what I'm getting at, though, that feeling, and it is so wonderful. And the problem was, she was right. I got excited, and I guess I missed that old feeling of having a payment. I don't know what was wrong with me at that time. But anyway, I felt like I had to go get another one. But conquering those things, that's what John is talking about in his word, is about you have conquered it if you have Jesus in your hearts. You are a true, true believer. Look at what he says right there. Let's keep going a little bit long. Let's pick up in 3. He says, in fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. They're not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. They are the ones that overcome the world. Because if you let it, you just there again heard a beautiful testimony of how God is in control. And always keep your eyes looking up to always know that there is a silver lining. You always have to keep that in mind. That's where our faith comes in. Our faith in Jesus comes in, that he has a plan for us. We are simply here for him, to serve him. He is our Lord and Savior. All we are doing is helping him while we're on this earth temporarily. Amen? That's what we're doing. You always have to keep that at the forefront. Always have to keep that in mind. Let's go back to a quick story. When I was 18 years old and I was playing football, and y'all all know, I've shared the story, I snapped my leg completely in two. I thought my life was over. I honestly did. Because I had set everything I had on playing at the next level. But when that night happened, it was gone. I knew it was gone. My daddy told me it was gone. The doctors told me it was gone. They're like, there's nothing bubble gum and glue can't do right here. It's over, son. It's going to take a while to heal. And I thought, God must be mad at me. He's angry with me. Something I've done. Maybe I didn't pray enough. Maybe I didn't pray hard enough. Maybe I didn't pray for the right things. Now, if you notice how I started out each of those things, I said, I, me, me, me. It wasn't the case at all. God had something better for me. He did. He truly did. As I stand in front of you today, as your pastor, I'm more excited today than I ever thought about being at 18 years old, about what God has in plan for us as his people, for as what God has in plan for us as his church. What directions do we get to go? Yes, we're in a pandemic. People are getting vaccinated. We're going to see that wind down here. It's coming this year. It's coming. I have a feeling that we will be back. That we will be back. I think our doors are going to be bigger than better than ever. I think the pews are going to be full again. I think we're going to see it. I honest to goodness think we are going to see it. And you know who tells me that? God reassures me that in his word. That all I'm supposed to do is follow him. That all I'm supposed to do is be in his will. Look at what John goes on to tell him right there. Pick it right up there. He says, that's 5:1-4. Look over here at conquering God, conquering through God's testimony. Look at what verse 5 says right there. He says, who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. 6 says, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are 3 that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these 3 are in agreement. The main reason I wanted to at least bring you to this point is because I wanted to talk about the Spirit, I wanted to talk about the water, and I wanted to talk about the blood and reference it. There are several different opinions out there of what we see, what those represent. But according to my expository notes and what I read, what I could find out was, the water represents the baptism of Jesus. Because as we see when he was baptized, and you can actually see this in Matthew 3:13-17. You don't have to flip there. I'll just read, but please jot it down so you can go back. It said, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Think about God's word and how powerful. Then we see right after that, Jesus in the wilderness, tested by Satan. Next section, Jesus begins to preach. It was the beginning. The incarnation we talk about is when Jesus took on the bodily form, is what he did. He was a perfect, sinless human being that represented God. God sent him. Now, think about what it says. It says, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. We all know the blood comes from the crucifixion on the cross, is what it does. And it says, we accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. When I went back and read the personal testimony of Charles Spurgeon, 1850, he was saved at 15 years old. His account of this story, and I've got the short version, I'm not reading the entire thing, but it wasn't too terribly long. But he says, I sometimes think I might have been in darkness and despair until now, had it not been for the goodness of God in sending a snowstorm one Sunday morning while I was going to a certain place of worship. I turned down a street and came to a little primitive Methodist church. In that chapel, there may have been a dozen or 15 people, and I had heard of the primitive Methodist, how they sang so loudly that they made heads people that they made people's heads ache, but that did not matter to me. I wanted to know how I might be saved. The minister did not even come in that morning. I guess he was snowed up, I suppose. At last, a very thin-looking young man, a shoemaker, a tailor, or something of that sort, went up into the pulpit to preach. Now, it is well that preachers be instructed, but this man was really not that smart. He was obliged to stick to the test for the simple reason that he had little else to say. But the text he shared was, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the sins of the earth." Isaiah 45:22. When he had managed to spin out about 10 minutes or so, he was at the end of his tether. Then he looked at me under the gallery, and I dare say with so few present, he knew me to be a stranger. Just fixing his eyes on me as if he knew all my heart, he said, "Young man, you look very miserable." Well, I did, but I had not been accustomed to have remarks made from the pulpit on my personal appearance before. However, it was a good blow, struck right home, he continued, "and you will always be miserable, miserable in life, miserable in death, if you do not obey my text. But if you obey now, this moment, you will be saved." Then lifting up his hands, he shouted, as only a primitive Methodist could do, "Young man, look to Jesus Christ. Look, look, look. You have nothing to do but look and live." Charles said, "I saw at once the way of salvation. I know not what else he said. I did not even take much notice of it. I was so possessed with that one thought. I had been waiting to do 50 things, but when I heard that word, look, what a charming word it seemed to me. Oh, I looked until I could almost have looked my eyes away. And then and there, the cloud was gone. The darkness had rolled away. In that moment, I saw the sun and could have risen that instant and sung with the most enthusiastic of them of the precious blood of Christ and the simple faith which looks to him. Oh, that somebody had told me this before. Trust Christ and you shall be saved. Yet it was no doubt all wisely ordered, and now I can say, ere by sense by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wound supply, redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die. He said, "I thought I could have sprung up from my seat in which I sat and have called out with the wildest Methodist brethren, I am forgiven, I am forgiven, a monument of grace, a sinner saved by blood." He goes on to say, "When I returned home that day, what a change had taken place in me. Simply by looking at Jesus, I had been delivered from despair." Charles Spurgeon went on to be the prince of preachers, wrote several, responsible for like 40 different languages, sermons getting out in. His word went all over the world. It's amazing how just a young 15-year-old, and how he was changed from that day forward simply by looking to Christ. Have you looked today, ladies and gentlemen? Are your eyes upon Jesus? We sometimes, as Christians, are so hard on ourselves that Greg made an honest statement this morning. Maybe we had too much stuff. I think we probably all got too much stuff. That was a pretty honest response. I could go, me too. He's right. Let's look to Christ for our answers. Let's look to Christ for our guidance. John's telling his church, false teachers have come in the door. He's restoring them is what he's doing. He's telling them The only way to heaven is through Jesus. That's the way. Look to him and ye will be saved. Keep your eyes on that focus at all times. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Let's close this morning. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day that you have given us. And thank you, God, for Greg and Jan and their testimony. Thank you, God, for, Lord, for us just being able to gather in your house as one, Father God. May we always be found faithful to you. May we always be, Lord, looking for you. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time. Lord, be with us as we depart. Bless each and every family that is here, that is represented. Everyone we mentioned on our prayer list, we lift up to you. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day, for all your sweet blessings. These things I ask in your name. Amen. As Anna gets ready to come forward and sing our hymn of invitation, Miss Kate makes her way to the piano.